brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to ask us to turn to God's precious word into our song, the Psalms. Our reading will be from Psalm 20 for today. We'll carry on with the long-term Bible study series of the Psalms. That's Psalm 20. These are the words of the living God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this most precious holy word. And so once again, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're looking at Psalm 20 for our Bible study, in our long-term Bible study series. This Psalm 20 was not only penned by David to the chief musician, a Psalm of David, but also under the inspiration of God, it was designed for men like David, who would hold the office of a king. And so it was designed for those, for us to pray for those in authority over us. And we know this from verse 9, which reads, Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. And so today's psalm was really penned in mind to pray and intercede for those in authority over us. And David here gives us, under the inspiration of God, a pattern prayer for us to pray for those in authority over us. And he gives us particulars for us to pray for those in authority. And we might think it a strange thing for him to pray for him, ask people to pray for himself. But we see here the humility of David and his value for prayer. He wants people to pray for him. He wants faithful believers to pray for him. And he gives him the particulars. And isn't it good for us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to ask one another to pray for each other, to value one another's prayers. And as king, he would have valued the prayers of those faithful few who were upholding him, who were wishing the Lord to fulfill his counsel of his heart towards the people for God's righteous causes. And we know it's important to pray for those in authority, because it says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And as Christians, that is our desire, isn't it? That we may live a quiet and peaceable life, living out our faith for the Lord. And so we Christians can become very complacent, can't we, in such prayers for authority, especially when we feel that we are being unjustly treated by our antagonistic culture. We can feel very marginalized often, and the laws that are passed to go against our faith and against what the scriptures teach, we can become quite distrustful and even, I'd say, we can come across in the wrong way to those authorities, and really we need to pray for for those in authority, even the ones which are very hostile. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the Manassehs, as it were, that the Lord can change them, despite the many things that they've done. The Lord can change some of us, and let us bring them before the Lord. We forget sometimes, don't we, that the Lord is sovereign over all matters upon earth. And he's sovereign over everything. It says in Romans 13:1, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And so, whether it is for judgment upon a land, or whether it's for the thanksgiving and the blessing of a land, like in the days past, where we have godly kings ruling over us. And, of course, we see, in recent years, we see, of course, God's judgment upon this land, this blessed land, Great Britain, that we know the Lord has mightily blessed. But we need to pray again, don't we? We need to continually pray for those in authority over us. And so today's psalm reminds us that we often need to pray for those in authority over us. And this psalm was not, no doubt, given as well for us to use within our corporate prayer meetings, for prayer meetings like this that we prayed earlier, and for corporate worship as well. William Tyndale, upon being burned at the stake, prayed those famous words, didn't he? "Lord, open up the king's eyes," publicly. And we need to do such things, don't we? This is a man being persecuted and his life being taken, and he's praying for that man that the Lord may open up his eyes. And the Lord did open up his eyes to an extent. And oh, how we need to pray for those who govern over us. David, being a great man in authority, humbly recognizes the need of others' prayers, especially those faithful few who fervently come before the Lord in intercessory prayer. The psalmist puts such a value on such prayers, he even gives us the particulars for us to pray for those in authority over us in today's psalm, in Psalm 20. For Christian brothers and sisters ought to share one another's burdens and pray for those particulars. And so, what is it that God's word teaches us here to pray for concerning those in authority? Well, firstly, that God would answer the prayers when we, in God's providence, he would trouble those in authority. And we see that in verse 1. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." And the God of Jacob, of course, is the living God. Jacob is alive now with the Lord. And we are to pray for the Lord in the day of trouble, when the Manassehs and other kings, Jehoshaphat and other kings, in the day of trouble, that the Lord will answer their prayers, that they would call upon the name of the Lord, that would not put their trust in chariots and horses and their military might. And don't we see that around the world in the West, how that we boast in our military might, we boast in all these things, and yet within we're like a rotting carcass, as it were. And how we need for the Lord to pray for those kings and rulers and those who govern over us in their troubles, in all these things going on around the world, all these problems with COVID and all these other things going on around the world, that they would call upon the name of the Lord and that the Lord would answer them providentially. And Manasseh, though the son of a good king, Hezekiah, committed evil in the sight of God, didn't he, for many, many years. Manasseh reigned in his father's stead, committing abomination for many years until the Lord saved him at the last, really. And perhaps it was the grace-endowed prayers of his godly father Hezekiah and others which brought God's hand down spiritually upon that man. And David oftentimes, even as a king, found himself in great trouble and distress, didn't he? He knew of the power of God to defend him by intercessory prayer being made in the name of God. And we see that, don't we, in Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower into which the righteous run by faith and are saved. Verse 2 reminds us of where much of our authority's help comes from. It reads, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Oh, that more of our leaders would know where to go to find true strength and help in times of trouble. I remember doing a study on the man, Lieutenant General Sir William Dobie, during the Second World War. He was a mighty man of faith, a military leader. He was called by another man called Ironside to defend the Maltese people, and to hold Malta, the island of Malta. And he was tasked almost with the impossible task of defending the island from the fascist Italian dictator Mussolini and, of course, the Nazis. And he was a great man of faith. He publicly and boldly stated his faith. And he would, before dinner times, pray. And he would often encourage those around him in the Lord. And it was noted that Dobie said, "In the siege of Malta, when we were very weak and the enemy was very strong, we gained much help from the story of Jehoshaphat, recorded in 2 Chronicles 20. We are told that Jehoshaphat prayed to God, 'We have no might, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you.' We were encouraged to do that in Malta, and we received the same answer that Jehoshaphat received: 'Be not afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is God's.'" And he encouraged his troops, and the Lord, through incredible odds, made Sir William Dobie and that small contingent he had there defend against the might of the German army and against Mussolini as well. Truly, dear friends, our strength and that of our kings and rulers comes from the sanctuary up on high, from the Lord up on high. Verse 3 teaches us to pray that God would accept the good intentions and prayers of kings and those in authority over us, that we may know of, that they may know of God's power, that they should turn to him in times of need. Verse 3 reads, "Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah." Kings and those in authority, as great as they may be, must also know they are in need of an atonement for their sin. And David, though a king, thought himself to be but a weak, an impotent man if he were not to devote himself and encourage himself in the Lord, his deliverer. His heart was right with God, wasn't it? And he encourages us to pray likewise for those in authority whose hearts are inclined to God's ways. And verse 4 says, "Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel." It ought to be the prayer of God's elect to pray for the Lord to establish the good counsel of godly kings and rulers. And was this not true of King James, who, under the mighty hand of God, translated the King James Bible, the Holy Bible, as we know it today, the most mightily blessed Bible, 7 times, the 7th translation, the King James. And if you've ever read the preface of the King James, you see the work that was undertaken and to it, the seriousness that those translators had and how they praised the king and prayed for the king. The 7th translation, there is wisdom in the mouth of a a king, isn't there? And yes, it is true that good and godly kings and those in authority can be far and few between. And oh, that I fear that we do not pray enough for the Lord to raise up such an authority in our days. We become so forgetful that to pray for those, even those of who are very hostile to our faith, I fear that we're not praying enough for those in authority, and we need to come before the Lord more often and pray that he will point people to his salvation and make the means of grace more accessible. That's what we want, don't we? For kings and those in authority to point more to Christ, to make the means of grace more accessible, to point people to God's word again. And we see this in verse 5, don't we? We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Let us pray and rejoice when the Lord raises up leaders that preserve life and who raise high the banners of Christ's righteousness and Christ's salvation. Let us pray for their petitions to be fulfilled, that there be peace and blessing within our land, as we once knew in days gone past. And this is not only a good psalm for us to sing and to pray for good, godly government, but it is also prophetic, isn't it? It's a prophetic psalm here, in that these prayers to David, the king, are prophecies as well, concerning Christ, the son of David, that in him they are abundantly answered, and which we can rejoice in. They are abundantly answered in the good government of Christ, and who has thwarted the powers of darkness, and has brought us into his wonderful kingdom of light. And so we see the prophetic nature of this psalm as well. Verse 6 goes on to say, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. David, of course, was the Lord's anointed king. He knew experientially of the value of prayers made for him and fellow believers, as all good rulers do. And dear brethren, when we pray for those in authority, let us not pray unbelieving, but believe in our prayers. But let us pray that the Lord would indeed hear from his holy heaven. That's who we come before, the Lord who is sovereign, the Lord that can make the difference in our rulers' hearts, that works miracles upon the earth. His intervention is one from heaven to those upon earth. And we see here Christ's people, saved people, triumphing in God and their blessed relation to him and his kingdom. Their strength comes from up on high when Christ reigns, and they know of his saving power and intercession and salvation. In this do they trust by faith, and not in the show of strength, and in vanities, and in the vanities of this world, as verse 7 suggests. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's in whom we trust in. We don't put our trust in military might. And we see in those days the Syrians and the armies round about Israel, a bit like today. Israel, that little nation, and we see all the armies around about them. And yet somehow God has mightily preserved that nation, has mightily favored that nation. And this, of course, is true with all believers and those who commit themselves unto the Lord. And especially in those nations, the Lord mightily helps them overcome the odds far greater. And David often betimes fought against the Syrians and those on paper, which in man's eyes were far more equipped with, from a worldly perspective, with
horses and chariots and men, and David had none of these things, none of those things. But what he was equipped with was the mighty hand and name of the Lord his God. And that's who we have, who is on our side. We can come before the maker, the sovereign ruler of all. And we don't need all this military might. David against Goliath didn't need Saul's shield. He didn't need all the regalia. Hey, all he needed was a stone in the brook. Five stones, one of them. And we could be like, Christians could be like those stones in a brook, and the waters pass over it, smoothing it out, as it were. And the grace of God smoothing us, beveling us over time, ready to be slung, as it were, into Goliath's head. We can be like that by God's grace. And the Lord doesn't need what the world has to offer. He doesn't need 300,000. He can use 300. And we need to come before the Lord in great faith, as our brother has prayed for, and ask the Lord to mightily move in the hearts of those in authority, so that they put their trust in the Lord God, and not in their militaries, and not in their scientists, and not in all these things, but in the Lord. And so, friends, we too will prevail against the many enemies to our soul, if we would but put our trust and remember in the name of the Lord our God. We must remember that it's only through his name that we are all in conquerors, that we don't need all these things, that's he who has the victory is Christ, and we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And he goes before us, doesn't he? As he did with Israel, into all our battles. And sometimes when we fail the Lord, we need to search ourselves, whether the accursed thing is within the camp, whether that we're trusting perhaps in other things, other ideas in life. We need to go back to basics, don't we? Am I calling upon the name of the Lord? Am I trusting in Jehovah, in my God, and my King? Am I praying for those in authority? Am I praying in the name of the Lord, in his power, in his might? That's what we need to do as believers. He goes before us into all our battles. And that's why the psalmist could say in verse 8, they are brought down and fallen. They who have all this military, that have all this might, all the chariots, all the Syrians round about them, and all the enemies round about them, with all their kings, and they seem far greater. Even they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The horses, the chariots, the military, they mean nothing in the sight of God. And sometimes we can be scared, can't we, when we see a hostile culture, and we see so many powerful systems, the media, and so many powerful influences against us, and we can kind of feel like shrinking and going backwards. But oh, how we need the faith of David. We stand upright. We stand for the fight. We get involved. We pray for those in authorities. We're an influence, a salt, and a light. We Christians are risen with Christ. We need not fear and what the enemy can do to us. We stand upright with the psalmist David. And we stand our ground for Christ's causes. We pray for those in authority over us. And so David gives us the particulars here. And so our psalm for today concludes with verse 9. Say, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Oh, how we need to pray that prayer. Let Mr. Johnson hear us. Let Mr. Johnson hear us when we call. The many prayers. I've heard many people praying for Mr. Johnson. I've even heard that the Lord has given an opportunity for someone to give a Bible to Mr. Johnson when he was in hospital, and to witness to him there. Let's pray, friends, for those in authority over us, that the Lord would hear them, that the Lord in his wisdom and his providence would bring them to a state of need and repentance, that they would see the futility of the scientists, of the military, of all these things, with the even the collaboration with many other states that they may, and countries, that they may see that true power and true salvation comes from the name of the Lord, our God, the one who has made Great Britain great, and the one who, like the Roman Empire, and like the many empires that have gone before us, can take away that greatness. Let us pray. It's all the Lord's doing, friends. It's when we come before the name of the Lord. And dearly beloved, how we need to pray not only for the Lord to bless those in authority, to save them, but also to preserve justice and mercy in our land, that we can live peaceable lives, that we can live lives that the law is upheld and God's ways are upheld. In a deeper sense, we again see Christ here when a poor, lost sinner pleads for saving mercy from the King of Kings. Though he be so undeserving, and though we are, and be so undeserving of his favour, being alienated from the things of God because of our sin, justice has been met and mercy given by the Saviour, so that we too can know of him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we can bless his name, and we don't, of course, pray for him because he is the Lord, but we pray to him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Saviour, and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord, do we bless. Let us remember, friends, to pray always for those in authority over us. Pray for their salvation. Pray for the Lord to intercede in their lives. Pray for them so that we may live peaceful lives, and that the means of grace, the scriptures, Bible-believing churches may be pointed to, that they may encourage people to them, and that laws, godly laws, may be upheld, and that ungodly laws may be repealed. Let's do bring these things before the Lord.